All right, welcome back to, I believe, the 24th episode of Frog Fever, a Big 12 basketball podcast brought to you by KillerFrogs.com. I'm Davis Wilson. With me, as always, is Nick Germani. And it's been a little bit since we've been on, Nick, but we've got a really good episode, a quick episode, but a really good episode. We just got off the Zoom call with Tobias Bass, Athletic Insider College Basketball. He was really great to talk to, so stick around for that. But yeah, we don't have a ton, Nick. How have you been though? What are your quick thoughts on, I guess, the portal, TCU stuff, all that kind of jazz?
Yeah, dude, I'm fired up at what we got going on. Since last episode, we got RJ Jones, which I think was like quick after we
Yeah, it was right
stopped
after.
recording that last one, which is sick. I mean, stealing a guy from K-State when, we lost Dog earlier to them this year, and we kind of take one back, which is nice, and he's kind of a nice developmental piece. And then the big one, obviously, last week was Tre'Zarian White, and it was a good bat. We get into all this stuff with T-Bass too. He was awesome and huge guest for us. Thanks for coming on. But yeah, I'm fired up about the team. Getting tries from Tech, and Baylor is also in on him too. I think it obviously he could be like our number one guy next year. I think he's up there for obviously one of the top scorers in the portal from Mansfield. Local guy. He's gonna play a lot of minutes. Yeah, the talent we've got from the portal is big, and Bass alludes to it in the interview. He gave us a little thing that we could be getting another guy soon too to fill out that last scholarship spot. So I think it's a huge dub from what we've got going on. And yeah, I'm excited for people to listen to this interview because it's one of my favorite ones we've done so far.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely one of the best ones we've done. As two guys trying to get into this industry, it was really cool to talk with Tobias, who's just kind of risen through the industry really fast and has done really good work. And is one of the best in college basketball right now. So we appreciate him coming on. And yeah, there's a little bit of a Bass bomb, as you just said. So stick around.
Yeah.
You can try to have your guesses on who he's kind of hinting at. But yeah, stick around because it was really cool to get to talk to him.
Yeah. Bass has been one of the break. A lot of the guys have gone in the portal too. Like I think he broke Wenzel. I know he broke RJ Jones. Yeah, he's been on top of everything, and he doesn't miss. So he's one of the up and coming guys that it's definitely a must follow on Twitter and a must read when he's putting out anything. Because if you want to follow the portal, if you don't want to follow recruiting, he's your guy. And just yeah, super cool to get to talk to him. And yeah, I'm excited for this one.
All right, we'll get to him right after this break.
Let's do it. All right, now back in the Frog Fever pod, we have a very, very special guest, probably our biggest guest yet, Tobias Bass. He's the associate editor at The Athletic since May of 2022. He graduated Tech. He's at Field of 68 before NBC. And he's dropping Bass bombs every week, just covering the portal and recruiting for college basketball. He's everywhere. But Tobias, this is huge. Thank you for coming on. And I just want to start with your career and what was your journey through the ranks of journalism? 'Cause you only graduated Tech in 2018, so kind of a quick rise. So after college, what was that journey like?
So I graduated Tech in 2018. I did a year of grad school. Grad school was cool. It really wasn't helping me for what I wanted to do. So I kind of like, I left. I left grad school at Tech. I came home. I was at home maybe like a week and the pandemic happened. So, at that point, like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be able to work in the industry. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, like, I was interviewing with a couple of places, but I really wasn't sure. So at the time, sports, like, there was no sports going on. So I was like, you know what? I think all these athletes are probably at home, bored, just like me. I'm just going to start DMing every athlete that I can, and maybe they'll respond. Some didn't. Some were nice. Some were nice. Most of them were nice. I got lucky. So, like, Lofa Tatupu, I did an interview with him. Anthony Spencer, I did an interview with him. Delvin Bro, the corner to play for the Saints, I did one with him. Trevor Booker played in the NBA for a while. So I was actually getting kind of lucky, to be honest with you. And I really was pushing the right button. So after that, was working on that. was still scouting because basketball AAU kind of was coming back into the fold a little bit, going to a couple games, and then you know, from there I was still working 2-3 jobs at Lowe's and FedEx, and then I was just real working on my own. Then eventually I worked at NBC for about 8 months, 9 or whatever it was. Then I ended up getting a job at The Athletic 2 years ago. I made 2 years here last week.
That's awesome. And one thing that I've, as a journalism student now, one thing that's kind of fascinating to me, and I think Nick as well, is like the life of an insider. Like how does that work? How do you become an insider, and what does it look like, you know, with different sources and things like that?
It's really just all about relationships, you know. Just for me, I mean, I think you should be nice to everyone, not because you're going to get something just because you're a good person, right? But you never know where someone's going to end up, like myself.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 years ago, I was working at Lowe's, dude. I was cutting wood and, you know, literally, I was literally cutting wood and trying to figure it out, you know, but I knew what I could do and what I wanted to become. So I just hustled. So same like with you guys. Y'all are going to make it big whenever you guys graduate. You just never know where people are going to end up. So you should always be nice and just meet as many people as you can.
How big of a move was it joining The Athletic? Like, was it night and day in terms of resources and ability to go to different events?
It was, I guess, like, I obviously The Athletic was a dream company of mine, so I always want to work here. I really kind of, when I first got here, I knew it was big, but I really didn't really understand like the dynamic of it until like just basic things, you know, like we're part of the New York Times. So just certain things you have to do to go to this particular thing. I was like, oh yeah, this is actually like serious. You know, when I got to cover the Final Four last year, I was expecting to be like in the top row, you know, with the Birds. I was pretty close. Like I was, you know, I was really, really close. I was like, this is different. So I think that's kind of when I was able to see, you know, the difference.
Yeah, The Athletic is one of the companies that is a dream spot for us as well. And just overall, you mentioned it's been 2 years now since you've been with them. How has your experience been with them? Have you enjoyed yourself there so far?
I've liked it a lot. I mean, I work with the great people every single day. It's really a dream job. You know, I guess the biggest thing for me was I didn't want work to feel like work, and working here feels just like that. You know, I feel happy going to work every single day. You know, I get to work with great people. I'm learning something new every day, you know, from my teammates, you know, from other people in the company. Then, you know, everyone's really nice. You know, it's kind of cool when you can message like a John Hollinger and he responds. You know, it's cool when you can message David Augie. You know, he's on 2K. I play 2K all the time.
Yeah.
It's cool, like, you know, talking to him. So everyone here is super, super nice, and it's a great company to work for.
That's awesome.
Yeah, okay. I want to get into the portal a little bit this year. You've obviously been covering it like crazy. And I just want to start broad. Like, what Big 12 team specifically has won the portal so far?
I mean, it would be hard not to pick Kansas and Baylor. Texas has done a great job too. Texas is gone. Baylor and Kansas, those two are the ones I would probably pick right now. I mean, Kansas, you know, Bill Self, he said it. I think after they lost, he was like, I'm pretty much focused on next season. So I think he pretty much put an emphasis like, we're never going to be this bad again.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he's brought in 2 top 50 recruits. He brought in 4 transfers. 3 of them were probably, I know for us, they were in our top 20, top 25, you know, at one point. So they've had an incredible portal season. The same with Baylor. I mean, has Baylor ever had a bad recruiting season? I don't think so. He's not in the portal. I don't think they've ever had one. And they continue to do that, you know, with Roach and Norchad and a couple other guys they got. So they're loaded.
Yeah, one problem that we talked about a lot with Kansas last year was like the depth piece of their team and how they lacked it a little bit. And that ended up being one of their shortcomings in March. But with what they've done in the portal, with the guys they have coming back, is this a Kansas team that's going to look a lot different from last year and look more like the Kansas teams that we're familiar with?
I think so. I mean, they're mega talented. I mean, you have a few guys mentioned they'll play in the NBA, you know, and you have some freshmen. So Bill does well when he has multiple guards. You saw those teams with Frank Mason, Devontae Graham. He had the 2-3 guards. He had 1 star freshman typically. He had 2 sometimes, but 1 star freshman. And those guys tend to come back for multiple years. That's why they're good every year. So this year, I think it's the same. You know, Harris comes back. Hunter comes back. KJ Adams comes back. You add in Rylan Griffin, Zeke Mayo, AJ Storr. I mean, they're arguably have one of the best, if not the best, starting five in the country, in my opinion.
Do you think they are the best team in the country? I know Bama's up there. I know
No,
Houston.
no. Me personally, I would pick Houston. I mean, you're bringing back all of your players. But one, granted, the player that left was the Big 12 Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. But everyone else comes back. You add in a Milos. You add in a Mercy Miller. I mean, I think it would be kind of hard not to pick them for me to be the best team. But there's some other teams you could argue. UConn's right there. You know, you could argue some other teams. But for me, I'll pick Houston.
Yeah, what about Iowa State? They have a lot of guys coming back as well, and they were Altzelberger is a great coach, and they had a really good year last year. What do you make of what they've done this offseason and what they're going to kind of look like heading into next season?
I mean, again, they're another team. They brought everybody back, and Altzelberger, he's a great coach. I really like what they. I mean, the biggest thing for them is, you know, them just retaining guys. They didn't lose a ton. You know, even I mean, they lost Omaha, but Omaha really didn't play a lot. So you know. They didn't lose a lot. Nate Heiss from UNI, I think he's a really, really good player. Deshaun Jackson was great at Charlotte. They brought in some players. And, you know, the guys they pretty much lost, they didn't play a ton. So you lose some guys that didn't really play. You're adding in key rotational players, maybe even a starter or two. So I think they're definitely going to be a top four team in that league.
Yeah, and we talk about retaining guys too, and it seems like it's so hard to do that nowadays. But yeah, you bring back Lip, you bring back Keyshawn, you bring back Mommy. Like, what's more valuable, I guess, nowadays? Is it still retaining players for your team, or is it making that splash play in the portal season?
I think you have to have a good balance of both. Houston does probably the best job of this in the country. They do a really good job of not only bringing their guys back, they do a very good job of developing high school players. Jamal Sherr was a high school player they developed. A lot of these guys, Sasser, same way. They didn't go find and drag all these players over. For the most part, the core of their team, they develop these dudes from scratch. That's why they're good every year. What Houston does is they bring back guys multiple years. They'll do a patch job. Hey, last year we needed another scorer, so we got a guy from Temple. This year we needed a point guard. We got Milos. They don't really grab several guys in the report. That's not the way they do it. They believe in their development. And that's why they're good every year. I think they've won the most games in college basketball over the last decade or something like that. So that's why they're good every year.
Yeah. Getting into a little bit of some TCU stuff, Jazarian White obviously committed to TCU last week. And that came down to TCU and Texas Tech. What was that recruitment like? That ended up being a pretty big get for Jamie Dixon, but what was that recruitment like? And how close was that in the end?
To be honest, I mean, I thought he was going to TCU the whole time. I know he did visit Tech, and they really did want him. But I think that there was a concern with they had similar players at his position, you know, one being Darian Williams. So, I mean, TCU, he's from Mansfield. It's not that far away, close to home. He wants to stay in the state. I thought it was TCU from the jump. I think they got his last visit, too. So, it's kind of, you know, that you get the last visit, and everything goes according to plan, you're probably going to get the kid, and they end up getting him.
What kind of player is TCU getting in Jazarian White?
Versatile scorer, about 6'7". Put up big numbers at UNCW. I think they want to play a little bit faster, probably play a four out, one in, you know, four guys on the perimeter, one big. I think that's how they want to play. So I think with him, you can do that. And him being at the four, there weren't that really many four, at least good ones in the portal this year. They got one of the best ones, in my opinion. So adding him to the fold, I think it's going to make them a pretty dynamic offensive team.
TCU was a super experienced roster, an old roster last year. They're going to look a little bit different this year, but how do you feel about the job that Jamie has done to kind of reconstruct that roster? And what do you think their team looks like next year?
So they lost a lot. You know, I think they had last year four players that scored over 1,000 points in their career. They were actually my sleeper team heading into the year. I really liked what they did. So you lose pretty much everything for the most part.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they did a hell of a job. Frankie Collins is one of the best defensive point guards in the country. Noah Reynolds averaged 20 at Green Bay. Brendan Rozelle's a perfect 6'7", 3-and-D guy. Just Daniel White, we just talked about what he does. And then R.J. Jones, I'm close with the Jones family. I don't think he was able to showcase really what he could do. But you keep a local kid home, And I think that he could even be a very pivotal 6-7 man for the Horned Frogs next year. Oh,
Yeah.
and one more thing. I think they're going to add one more player. It's a little scoop for you guys. I think they're going to add one more player probably in the next 2 days. So that'll be something to keep an eye on,
All
too.
right.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, too. All right, can you add if it's like a big or a guard or anything like that?
I can't add what he is, but I'll do that. He's really good, and he put up very, very good numbers as a freshman. I'll do that. He put a
Wow.
very, very good number. He's a good player. So, to be honest with you, we'll see how the lineup. It wouldn't be surprised they started that dude. He's more than
Wow.
good enough to start. So I expect them to get him another commitment, and I'll probably say in the next 2 days before Friday, I think.
Okay. Cool. What's been it's been a crazy portal season. There's been a lot of movement, a lot going on. Is there one move that sticks out to you as like the biggest shock move of the portal season so far?
A big shock move. So I mean, there's been a lot of just kids going from all over the place. I'll do one like Clifford, going to Bama. I kind of
Rutgers.
didn't know where that dude was going at a point. His recruitment was kind of like, I wouldn't say all over the place, but it was just you heard this school, you heard it was Georgetown, you heard it was Carolina, then boom, they get him. I'd also talk about Indiana. I mean, what Indiana did was incredible. You bring back what your leading scorer, your top McDonald's All-American freshman, then you add Omar Ballo, Miles Rice, Kanan Carlisle. They're another team. They arguably have the best starting five lineup in the country. So you see a lot of teams there. They're really like loading up that top five. So I think what Indiana did, they definitely need their praise. And even USC, I mean, he brought over what, 9 transfers and 2 high school kids. That's tough. When you leave a school like that, some of those kids tend not to follow. And he was able to get, and these transfers he's getting, these are high-end guys. And I want to see how he makes that work, because he has what, 5 or 6 of them average over 15 points a game. So I want to see how he makes that work with that roster. But on paper, they look great.
Do you have a story of a guy who was super close to committing to one place that flipped or that surprised you in a way? That, like, what if he went there, would have changed a whole lot?
Kanan Carlisle was one, because I know that he did like Georgia Tech. He ended up going to Indiana at the end. That was a tough one. Even Brandon Garrison was it, because Brandon Garrison, you guys remember, he was one of the first, if not the first, really big name to enter
Yeah,
the portal.
to
And
get him there,
everyone
yeah.
thought that he was going to Texas, Kansas, or Oklahoma. After a while, no one knew anything about his recruitment. Like, I almost, kind of forgot he was in the portal. It took so long, then boom, he just randomly commits to Kentucky. I thought that was kind of crazy, but it was a hell of a get for the new staff in Kentucky.
Is there a you may have a couple of these, but is there a particular fit like a new transfer portal fit between a player and a team that you like in particular?
A fit. Let me see. I mean, as we know, a lot of these kids, they're not making basketball decisions. Sometimes it's tend to money. It tend to be money or a variety of other things. But I really like. I like what Baylor did with Roach and Norchad. I mean, again, I don't know if they've ever had a bad portal season, but they lost a lot. They lost a lot of bunch of players, including a going to be a lottery pick freshman. They bring over another McDonald's All-American guard. They've been wanting a super defensive five for as long as you get Norchad. He's one of the best defensive bigs in the country. Not only do you do that, you add one of the best point guards in the country in Jeremy Roach. And they like to play that multiple guard system. So with Roach, BJ Edgecombe, and probably the guard they got last year for VCU, I really like that combination of the guard. I think they're going to be really good next year also.
Outside of like that top five Big 12 teams, what's a team that maybe not being talked about as much that you really like what they've done in the portal season?
That's not being talked about at the top. So Kansas State, they were kind of scaring me for a little bit, because they were striking out, missing out on guys, but they cleaned it up pretty nicely. I mean, you add Achiuwa, Doug McDaniel, Mac Jones is a good player. They're pretty solid. They're pretty solid what they've done. And Cincinnati would be another one. CJ Frederick's gonna come back. Dylan
Yeah, I
Mitchell,
just
you get
saw
Dylan
that.
Mitchell a couple of days ago. Arlington Page, you get him from USC, and they bring back a pretty decent portion of their team from a year ago. So if they were in another league, they'd probably be a guaranteed tournament team. But in the Big 12, it's just so rough. But I do think they're gonna be in the fold to definitely contend to get one of those spots.
Another, it was a crazy off season for because of the portal and also because of some coaching changes. Is there a coaching hire that you are particularly excited to see how it works out?
Head coach or assistant?
Will you head coach?
Head coach. I want to see how Sprinkle does that. Well, I think Sprinkle's a great coach. I want to see how is he going to be able to get players. We know what he paid Ray Osborne. He gave him all the money. The portal really hasn't been that great. You got Osborne. You got the other guard from Butler, but it's been okay. They're going to a new league. It's a super physical league. I want to see how all of those teams, Oregon, et cetera, USC, UCLA, how does their coach's style of play, will they be able to transition over to a league like that? Perfect example would be BYU. I didn't think BYU would be good last year. They came into the Big 12, didn't miss a beat. They were great. They vastly overdid their expectations. So I want to see, can those other teams that are hopping leagues, will they be able to do that? And Washington is a school that I have my eye on.
Obviously, conference realignment, all that stuff. It's the kind of the first look of the new Big 12 next year. And Arizona's kind of the team that stands out, bringing back Love and getting Townsend and all that kind of stuff. But how do you like what the new Big 12 teams have done coming in, and how ready do you think they are to compete?
Arizona's going to be good. I mean, they brought back, they lost some people, Boswell, they lost Ballo, but you bring back. KJ comes back, Bradley comes back. You get Trey Townsend, which is going to help them a lot. So they're going to be solid. And they're super well coached. Arizona State, I mean, we're talking about splashes. They came from left field and got Jaden Quaintance. I don't think anyone saw that, but that was a heck of a gift for them to get that kid. And he's interesting because he had to be in college 2 years. So assuming he stays, I mean, you have a potential lottery pick for 2 years. That's unbelievable. So Austin Mason was another guard they brought back. Austin Nunez, he goes back to his former school. I like Austin, he's a good player. I think they have a chance to be solid. I don't know if they'll be a tournament team year one, but I do like what they've done.
It's hard to know right now, obviously, because things can change with rosters and everything. But if you had to guess, like a range of how many teams from the Big 12 do you see getting in to the tournament as of now in March?
I can see about 7, and maybe that 18 really, kind of coming down to the last weekend. Maybe they win a couple of games in the tournament, the Big 12 tournament, to get them in. But I can see about 7. I mean, this conference is as good as it gets, and it's only going to keep getting better for them. Even with losing Texas and Oklahoma, you add Arizona, so this conference is going to be loaded.
Sure.
Obviously, you've been doing this for a minute now, and you've gotten to cover some cool stuff. So do you have a favorite like game or athlete or story that you got to do that really stands out to you?
So one is non-cover related. I went to the national championship game when Villanova hit the buzzer beater. I didn't
Wow.
cover. I didn't. I didn't
AJ.
cover that game. Yeah, but how I mean, I was at a junior college. I was at Blinn. My dad texted me randomly. He said, "Hey, do you want to go to the game tonight?" I was like, "The national championship game?" He was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, get ready. Like, I'm on my way to come get you." He come picks me up, and I had no idea. It's a national championship. You never know what's going to happen, but just being there in that atmosphere, seeing arguably the craziest college basketball game ever, was definitely truly a blessing. I was definitely happy to be there. Crazy game to have covered. I was at the final. I'm a Texas Tech alum, so I was at the Final Four game when they went to the national championship. I was there. Just seeing DeAndre Hunter hit that corner three ball was just, as a Tech alum, that was just that was rough to watch. I mean, he's a heck of a player. He's in the NBA for a reason, but that game, you got to win those. And for them to get that close and win, the program's been solid since. But they may not get back. You never know with those type of things. But being there for that game was definitely pretty cool.
Yeah. And just one more for you before we let you get back to watching the NBA. But as a Texas Tech alum, I know you have to obviously kind of watch your bias or whatever, but I'm a big fan of McCaslin. What are your
Yeah.
thoughts on him as a coach, and what do you see him, I don't know, what do you see him doing at Texas Tech?
Well, first, love Grant. I got to know him a little bit. Great person, great coach. I think he's going to be able to, I don't want to use the word fix Tech, but I think he'll be able to kind of do what Beard did. I think he'll be able to get them, over that hump and maybe get them to a couple of Final Fours or a couple of days, hopefully a national championship game. I think he's a great coach, has a great staff. I think that staff, one of the better staffs definitely in that league. And I keep an eye on my Red Raiders, man. They got a couple of things cooking up on their sleeve. They're another school y'all should watch over the next week or so and
Okay.
see what they have up their sleeve. They got some stuff brewing. I think if they get the players that I'm thinking they're gonna get, hopefully, bias aside, I think they're gonna be, if they get them both, I think they're probably gonna be a top 15 team. I think they're gonna probably be a top three team in the Big 12 next year. If they're able to get them both. There's a anything can happen, as we know, but assuming they get them, I think they have a real chance to be legit.
Awesome. Yeah.
You were at UIBL this weekend too. I wanted to add, is there any player that stood out to you from high school class that you think is gonna made a big jump or will translate well in the next level?
Well, one of my favorite players to watch is Hudson Greer. He's from Austin. He's just a transfer. He's gonna go to Mount Vernon this year as a senior, but he's one of my favorite players to watch in the country. Super smart, knows how to play, can really shoot the ball. I think he'll be a pro one day. Kind of reminds me of like a Christian Braun type of role. I think he could kind of be something like that. He's definitely one that stood out. Sheldon Henderson is another one, big, strong, physical guard. Both of these kids are being recruited by Big 12 schools too, also. Yeah, those two definitely stood out to me. I was at the TYNA JL3 game. That was probably one of the better AAU games I've been to in a while. So, it came down to basically the last two possessions. It's just amazing to see how talented these kids are. There probably were nine high major basketball players on the floor at once. So just being in a game like that, and there was coaches all around from Kentucky to Tech to any school in between, they were all over there. So it was just a great game to go to.
That's awesome.
All right, I got one more question before we let you get out of here. Obviously, NBA, we're down to Final Four teams right now. How tapped into the NBA are you, and do you have a finals pick that you think's gonna take it home?
I'm tapped in with the NBA. I really watch it more when the playoffs start because they play a little bit harder. The games matter more because there's so many games in regular season. But I think it'll be Boston playing. I really want the Timberwolves to go to. I just love Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, it's
I,
tough
I'm
not
I'm
to.
a yeah, but I think it'll probably be Boston and Dallas.
Nice.
And if the Celtics don't win it this year, the question is going to be, can they actually even win it? I mean, the role they had, you got to play who you got to play, but the role was so easy. Everyone was either hurt, they got to avoid Milwaukee. You got to win this one because if you don't, the question is going to be, do you have to break it up? Can they get back? Because next year, the Knicks aren't going anywhere, the Bucks aren't going anywhere, the Pacers are super young, so they might not even be the favorite next year. So I think this is the year they got to do it.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Tobias. It was awesome to get to talk to you and learn kind of about what you do, and it's been really cool. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem,
Yeah.
man. And I'll be in Fort Worth a few times this year for a couple of games. So whenever I come up there, I'll definitely let you guys know. We can grab something to eat.
Awesome, man.
Definitely, that'll be awesome.
That'd be
Yeah, I've been
great.
following you for a minute now too, so it's awesome to get to
Yeah.
talk to you and just see what you're about and all that kind of stuff. This has been great. Just
Yeah.
want to say thank you again.
Yeah, you do a
No
really good
problem, man.
job.
No problem, man. Bring me on whenever you guys want.
Awesome.
You're
Thank
the
you so
man.
much. Have a good one.
You too.
All right, that was Tobias Bass from The Athletic, a college basketball insider, one of the best in the game right now. As you guys heard, he is really great and was very kind to come do this interview. So again, we want to thank him. But and yeah, thanks for those who are listening, because it was a fun episode. We'll be back. Nick and I were just talking about our plans kind of for the off season. We'll be back maybe once or twice more with any more news that comes. But other than that, we'll just kind of be waiting for any news to drop, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Probably, definitely, I would say another episode.
Yeah.
Kind of like once the roster is complete and look at what we got going on, maybe preview the whole thing once like most of the rosters are set in, which I would say probably a week away from getting a pretty good idea. We already have a pretty good idea, but like a pretty certain idea of what coaches and players and roster is gonna be like. So, yeah, probably a nice preview there. But yeah, this year's been great, and as we do one or two more, like I'm already happy for next season too. Just being able to kind of, the portal's fun, and getting be able to cover it is fun, but nothing's like the next basketball season. So I'm looking forward to it for sure, and definitely it's been a fun ride so far.
Yeah, it's been a really fun season, and we appreciate everybody who's followed along with us, 'cause I know we've had a ton of fun getting to talk TCU, go to some of these games and watch them, and hopefully next year will be even more fun. That's always
Yeah.
the hope, I guess.
Yeah,
But
for sure.
yeah, we again, we appreciate everyone listening. We'll kind of come and do another pod when, as you just said, when things are set. But as always, my name is Davis Wilson. That is Nick Jeremani, and we will see you next time.
Awesome.